Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. Dr. Barbara Moses is our guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. She is the author of the highly acclaimed Career Intelligence and the Good News About Careers, how you'll be working in the next decade. She's the author of a brand new book called What Next, and it's called, the subtitle is The Complete Guide to Taking Control of Your Working Life. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. I'm excited about your book because, besides the fact that it's an incredibly beautiful book, a lot of color, a lot of photographs, a lot of images that really draws you into the book, a lot of places for the reader to make notes about their own themselves, about their career and what they've learned. But you really help people look at themselves and look at what they want in life and help them to go find that.
Absolutely. The fundamental principle underlying the book is know who you are, be able to articulate your skills, your values, your accomplishments, know which of the 8 motivational types that I profile in my book you fall into. This is relevant to people whether they're self-employed or working for someone else. Too many self-employed people have difficulty articulating the compelling message related to what it is they do associated with their service or their product. Mm-hmm. Or because they don't know what's most important to them, they get sucked into that working 24/7. And that's an extreme challenge for people who are self-employed, particularly if they work at home, where their home becomes their office, and they're dealing with children and paying the bills and marketing.
Isn't it amazing the number of people who actually don't know that they're doing whatever they're doing is not what they want to do, and it's because they haven't actually asked themselves, what do I want to do?
Absolutely. Burnout, boredom, lack of passion, not wanting to wake up the next morning because mm-hmm. you dread your work. That characterizes about 70% of people today. People who are self-employed tend to be happier insofar as they've often made a choice to become self-employed, but for some of them, it wasn't so much a choice. It was perhaps thrust upon them as a result of a difficult economy, or perhaps by virtue of their age, they found that they were no longer high in the employability sweepstakes.
Unemployment is often the mother of entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Now, there's a common myth associated with self-employment, which is in order to be a successfully self-employed person, you have to be a burning entrepreneurial visionary. And that's not true. Some businesses do require that kind of style, but it's not necessary for all businesses. And I think when you're thinking about self-employment, you have to design your self-employment around your strengths and your values.
Mm-hmm.
So the entrepreneur who's hugely visionary and who's also a leader is going to perhaps look at a business that he or she can grow, that has complexity to it.
One of the things that I get an awful lot from people asking me this question, who subscribe to my newsletter or who email me, who've listened to the show, that kind of thing, is I want to start my own business. What should I do? I mean, literally, that's it. That's their question. I want to start my own business. What should I do? They want me to lay it out for them.
I know. That's starting at the end. That's because they didn't start at the beginning. I mean, I get that question also all the time. Either what business should I start or what should I do? Should I do an MBA? Whatever.
You know what I tell them? I tell them, if you need me to help you with that, be sure to clock in tomorrow.
That's a very good point. But even if they're clocking in, you need to know what you want to do. Work plays such an important role in determining how effective we are as parents, as partners, as contributors. How can you abandon yourself to the force of work? You need to have a compelling concept of your skills, your interests. It's not simply a question of going out and finding the hot job opportunity or the hot business opportunity, which is basically what those people are asking you for. They're saying, you know, is there going to be growth in home delivery of foods, for example? That's not the way it works. You do have to do your due diligence, but only after you've assessed what you bring to the table? And also, do you have the capacity, and these people would not, the capacity to put words around your product and service so it captures people's attention?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have not done your self-assessment, if you have not identified what makes you uniquely qualified to do a particular piece of work, you're not going to be successful, no matter how hot the business opportunity.
Yeah, the two principles that you talk about in your book, I think, are really important. The two key principles, obviously, first is, as you sort of alluded to a little bit ago, you got to be who you are and express your authentic self. And the second one, you say, to be a career activist.
That's right. You know, most people pay more attention to where they're going to spend their vacation or how they're going to invest their money than they do asking themselves questions like, am I happy? Am I engaged? Am I learning? Is my work contributing and supporting my values? If you don't ask those questions, you're going to end up in what I call the career misery zone. Being a career activist is a fundamental principle in what next. You wouldn't allow yourself to be abused in a relationship, would you?
Mm-hmm.
And we know how great work can make our soul sing and bad work crushes us. Yet most people wait until, you know, they treat their career like a force of nature, and they wait until it's in the hideous zone, until there's a hurricane, before they really do some meaningful stock-taking. And they pay a huge price in terms of misery, self-depression, low self-esteem.
Yeah. You used a word a minute ago that I'd like to dwell on just a little bit, and you used the word happy. You talked about being happy.
Right.
And people want to be happy, but a lot of people don't know how to get to that state. How do they do that?
Well, first of all, you have to know what it is that makes you happy. What makes your soul sing? What are your underlying career themes? Very often when people do, not very often, in fact, all the time, when people do an analysis of things they've done throughout their life, they will find that there are some core signature career themes which are unique to them. Maybe it's making a difference. Maybe it's having autonomy. Maybe it's being important. Maybe it's being famous. Maybe it's helping people. Maybe it's delivering a singular product. Maybe it's doing something at a standard of excellence. You need to determine what it is that makes you happy. And looking at being happy also involves looking at your values. You might be at a stage in your career right now where time for family is number one.
Yeah.
So starting a business where you're going to be working 24/7 is something you have to think about very carefully.
Right.
Or you may have strong needs for autonomy, but because you're feeling insecure, your first temptation might be to get a business partner who has the exact same skills as you. That
Stand
won't
by.
Work.
Barbara, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with our new friend Barbara Moses, the author of What Next? It's 20 After. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We're visiting with our new friend, Dr. Barbara Moses, the author of What Next? The complete guide to taking control of your working life, including your self-employed working life, if you have one of those. Barbara, I'm trying to remember which chapter, I guess it's chapter 2 or 3, you talk about the 8 different behaviors, the 8 different things that motivate people. One of them is your sociability seeker, you're a career builder, you're an identity seeker. Talk to us about how these different motivations affect our working life.
Well, they are the foundation for making effective career decisions. If, for example, you're a lifestyler, you work to live, not live to work, and if you find yourself working 24/7, you're going to be very unhappy. If you're a personal developer, what's most important to you is practicing your craft, being challenged. A lot of self-employed people who become consultants are personal developers. If you're working for someone, you'll often be unhappy because as organizations have downsized, stripped away resources, these people are very vulnerable to burnout, and they feel that their work is not really respected. If you're a career builder and you're thinking of, for example, setting up your own business, that it's very important that you choose a business that will allow you to grow the business as opposed to something where there isn't much opportunity for it to become more complex, because a career builder is ambitious, they're motivated by status, they're motivated by money. If you're a collegiality seeker, it means you enjoy belonging to something bigger than yourself. You get your energy from other people. If you have to spend a lot of time by yourself, you're going to be unhappy. If you're an autonomy seeker, you need to be in charge of what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. And there's two types of autonomy seeker. One is the type who is, think John Wayne, who has an almost visceral reaction to being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the person who is an independent thinker, and it's not so much that they think outside the box, they just don't see the box. And they're often the ones who come up with very creative business ideas. If they're working in an organization, they often have trouble adapting because they're so kind of creative and inventive.
Right.
I can't remember the types that I haven't gone through.
Well, the main thing is to realize, because I would like to get you back another day and spend a little more time in each one of these eight, but which we won't do today. But the main thing is I think it's important for people to realize that all of us fit into one or maybe even a couple of these categories. They realize that there are these kinds of personality traits. We've actually have had some personality experts on the show before, actually on a regular basis, Pierce and Jane Howard, and it's important to realize that we fit into one of these vessels, and to realize that we might not be deploying our career in a way that fits that vessel.
Absolutely. In my book, What Next?, I ask people to come up with a major and two minors. And often there will be conflicts. For example, let's say you're a career builder, but you're also a lifestyler. That means you want to have the great career, but you want time for family, for example. And so it's important for people to know what's most important and also decide what trade-offs they're going to make. The reason why so many people are unhappy is they can't make those trade-offs or they feel deprived. So they end up living in a kind of gray zone where they try to satisfy all their values, and ultimately they don't satisfy any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have this feeling that they have to have it all right now instead of thinking of their life in terms of chapters. You will have it all, but you may not have it all in May 2003.
Right.
That may be for your next chapter. This chapter may be for family, or it may be for growing your business.
Well, we have to realize that we do move from one chapter to another in our lives. As you said, I may be a career builder today, but if I start a family next year, then that's going to set me off into a little bit of a different chapter, as you were saying a minute ago. Before we go any further, though, remind us where the book's available.
The books are available through all fine booksellers, any place where books are sold.
Okay.
Amazon.com, basically anywhere.
Yeah, and Barbara Moses, folks, M-O-S-E-S, if you want to type that into any of the online search engines or ask for it at your bookstore. Barbara, one of the things that I tell people is when you work, you're working someone's dream. It may be your dream, it may be Henry Ford's dream, it may be somebody else's dream, depending on who you work for, but you're working somebody's dream, and I think it helps to understand that and to say, okay, I'm happy working somebody else's dream, or I'm not. I want to be able to work my own dream.
That's true, but when you're working someone else's dream, that could also be your dream. But if you're working someone else's dream, that has nothing to do with your dream. For example, if you're resentful of your boss, if you feel that you're killing yourself and your boss gets the best of you and your family gets the dregs, or you're asking yourself, why am I working so hard to contribute to someone else's bottom line, you're going to be unhappy. But for a lot of people, working for someone else's dream also becomes their own dream because they take pleasure and pride in the accomplishment of doing a particular piece of work to a certain level of professional standards, getting it done, and that becomes their own dream.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, we've got about 20 seconds. Last thoughts. What would you like to leave us with?
Know yourself, become a career activist, and demand that work expresses your authentic values. Do not twist yourself inside out to satisfy someone else. Do not live someone else's dream. Know what's most important to you, and find work that speaks directly and intimately to your unique talents and values.
Barbara Moses, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Barbara Moses, the author of What Next? Well done, Barbara. Thank you for a good job today.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time.
Great.
Quick break. Right back with Melanie Sablehouse, the Deputy Administrator of the SBA. Buckle your seatbelts. Melanie Sablehouse is in the building. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.